Boy, you know, in the hustle and bustle, though, of all this stuff, we've got a lot of things that just come against us, right? They try and distract us from the reason for the season. And bless God, Jesus is our reason. He is the reason for the season. We've got words on the screen for you through this. We're blessed, actually, to have our choir singing with us on some songs as we get through. If you've grabbed a bulletin program, whatever you guys want to call it, you'll see how things are going to flow through. But sing along with us, and let's just rejoice in the Lord. And hello on to those on Facebook, too, who are watching us.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, oh, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant soul, tender and mild, sleep in heavenly shepherds quake, oh, at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing, hallelujah. Christ the Savior.
Variation, wasn't it? That was by Mercy. That's by Mercy Me. If you haven't had enough Silent Night, how about another version of Silent Night? Kind of maybe. Oh, as Todd does a costume change. Well, for those of you who are visitors, haven't been here before, God bless you. Welcome. For those who are regulars, you know we're missing the Armstrong family. Their Christmas Eve, as always, has their traditions. They're not able to be here. So I'm thanking Kevin Welch back here on the drums for us. Thank you, Kevin, for being here. And his lovely bride, Juanita, is back here over here, too, with us, singing vocals. She sings beautifully. Yeah, it's good to have you guys. Thank you.
I've made the same mistake before. Too many malls, too many stores. December traffic, Christmas rush breaks me till I push and shove. Children are crying, my mothers are trying to photograph Santa and say, shopping and buying and standing forever in line. What can I say? I need a silent night, a holy night, to hear an angel voice.
Well, I would like to take this opportunity, thank you, to welcome you to our Christmas Eve service. We are glad you're here. Some of you I met, I think, for the first time tonight, and that's always good. It's good to see, I know, parents for their children to be home. It's good to see that, and you enjoy that. And it's just a good opportunity to just sit down and enjoy hearing the Christmas story, singing some Christmas songs. And so we welcome you and we are glad that you are here. Sit back and enjoy it. You may want to sing. You may want to pray. Whatever you want to do, just enjoy yourself. Because that's what it's all about and that's what Christmas is all about.
Rejoice, people of God. The light has come into the world. O God, now we light the candle of your nativity. With the company of heaven and with sounds of great joy, you come to us. This is the time of light and resplendent joy. We have known times when God has come and brought life and light to our world. God has been born among us. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed a time when those who walked in the shadows would see a great light, a light that would shine and a child would be born unto us. The evangelist Luke painted the nativity sky and repeated the heavenly song of the angels, glory, peace on earth, and goodwill. John declared that this great light is Christ, the Word made flesh. This great light lives among us. By it we behold God's glory, full of grace and truth. At Christ's nativity, we now rejoice.
We're blessed to have some choir voices come up here and join with us too this morning. This morning? Sorry, guys. I'm way off base, aren't I? I do Thursday nights. I do Sunday mornings. And what is today? Monday, Christmas Eve. Welcome.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Trees with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, I know. A child, shivers in the cold, let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Said the king to the people everywhere, what I say, pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. A child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light.
The book of Luke, first chapter, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what his kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Please stand and join us in singing to A Little Town of Bethlehem.
At that time, Mary got hurried. Let me start over. This chapter of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." This is the word of the Lord.
So this is not a calisthenics class, but if you can stand once more. for this next song. It came upon a midnight clear. For those who are looking at your programs there, anytime it says congregation is when I'm going to stand. So if you look ahead,
Debbie had this idea about this thing in the beginning with the kids and stuff. They all say worked out really well.
From Luke 1, verses 46 through 56. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
So obviously, anytime we're singing any songs, you know it. I expect you to be singing along, sitting or standing.
What child is this who came to us? Mary's lamb is the sleeping. The angels sing with all the sea. The shepherds of the evening. This is Christ the King, who shepherds God and angels.
The next reading will be Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. The old familiar carols say. A mild and sweet the songs repeat. Peace on earth, goodwill to man. And the bells are ringing.
Our final reading this evening comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those in whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
So please stand and join us for O Come, All Ye Faithful. Song you see up here, actually go to the next slide for me, Tom, for Light of the Stable. This is a song by a group called Salah, and Light of the Stable talks about just worshiping God, right? Hail, hail to the newborn king. Let your voices sing him our praises. Hail, hail to the guiding light, and just bring it on. Go to one more slide, please, for me, Tom. I'm sorry, you're okay right there. I forgot the way she made these slides. Okay, you see at the bottom there it's doing hallelujah? We need this congregation to just sing out hallelujah, right? So you hear me go, hallelujah, and then they come in with hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, you guys kind of get it? So you guys come in on the hallelujah, or you can do the halle if you want. I mean, hey, let's just get into this because God is good, and he wants you to sing.
Hey. give hail to the newborn King. Let our voices sing Him our praises. Hail, hail to the guiding light that brought us tonight to our Savior. Child so dear, cast aside your fear and be thankful.
We've heard the story from Luke about Jesus' birth. Matthew and Luke are two apostles, two of the 12 disciples that spent a lot of time with Jesus, and they both had firsthand accounts of the story of Jesus' birth. And we've heard it from Luke, but there's a verse in Matthew. It's 1:21. It said, "She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." There's a couple questions that we have to ask ourselves, I think, when we stop and think about it. And the first one was, who is this person, Jesus Christ? Who is he? And the second one, why did he really come? What was his purpose in coming as an infant? And if you follow some of the things that I put on Facebook, I put something on there this morning about a lot of people thought he was going to come as a king or as a conqueror. No one thought he would come as a baby. Everybody had plans it was going to be some grandiose entry into the world, and it didn't happen that way. It was the birth of a child. Martin Luther said, "If anyone stands firm and right on this point, that Jesus Christ is true God and true man, who died and rose again for us, all the other articles of Christian faith will fall in place for him and firmly sustain him." You may know people in this time of the year that suffer from what's called SAD, seasonal affect disorder. I heard this the other day on the radio, and I had never heard of that. There are some people, I think, probably suffer from it 365 days a year. There are some people that are just miserable, and they try to make us miserable, but it doesn't really work. And some people might look at that at this time of the year, and they might feel sad and depressed because of a breakup maybe in their family. It might be some type of financial crisis. Maybe they're frustrated that they don't have tons of money to go out and spend at Christmas time. And if that's a reason to be depressed, that's a poor reason. Cindy and I were talking today, and I have a friend who is a pastor, and his philosophy and his wife's philosophy is they buy three gifts a year. Or for each for their kids. They have three kids, they buy three gifts. That's it. Because that's what the wise man brought Jesus. And so we were talking about that. And we're going to try to communicate that with our family this year and see how well it's received. You know, when you're used to getting multiples of three, and you stop and you look back and you think, wait a minute, something happened. And it did. We got some reality in our lives. But when people suffer that, it is depressing, and it's because they worship Christmas more than they worship Christ. And if we stop and think about that, we would never get depressed. As long as we keep Christ as a focal point in our life. The Christmas story is not primarily about a baby being born. It's not primarily about his birth. It's not about some type of great moral teacher that Jesus was, although he was. But it's about the story and the profound story of what happened through that whole birth process. And when we talk about the conception, and people question that and they wonder, how could it happen? Well, frankly, I wonder how it could happen. But I accept it. And we accept what we accept by faith. There's a lot of things that are found in that one verse of Matthew 1:21. The first thing that I thought about was, who came? Who was this? The context says that it wasn't an ordinary birth. It wasn't an ordinary conception. A lot of people reject the virgin birth as being impossible. It could never have happened. It wouldn't. No reason in the world why anything like that could ever happen. But it did. Matthew, one of the 12, as I mentioned, and I mentioned this yesterday, Luke, the other writer of the New Testament who recorded the birth of Jesus, they were contemporaries and probably had an opportunity to talk to Mary and just find out really what happened. And the gospel writers wrote what they heard, what they saw, and what, you know, and what they experienced in their lives. And so Matthew was one of those people that had that opportunity to spend time with Mary and probably talk to her and find out what happened. The angel tells us that Joseph was told to name the baby Jesus because he will be the Savior of his people. He will be the one that will forgive their sin. And Jewish people put a lot of emphasis on names, and they thought that was important. So when he was named Jesus, it became the very essence of him being Savior of the world. And so we answer that first question, who came? And the answer is Jesus Christ. He came to give us freedom. He came to give us peace. But what was his purpose in coming? It was to forgive us of our sins. And if we have to grasp that whole idea of forgiveness and to be saved, saved is a radical term when we stop and think about it. When you look at that idea of being saved, you think someone that's out floundering in a river or floundering in the ocean about to drown, they need to be saved. Someone that's in a fire and has the inability to get out of there and to rescue themselves need to be saved. Well, that's the idea of what happened when Jesus came to save us from something that was so terrible in our lives as a result of sin, as a result of wrong things. It's interesting that text, when we look at that, it says in the the Bible talks about, it says, for he came to save and forgive his people. It didn't say that he hopes that some will respond to the offer. He didn't say that. He didn't say he's going to give it his best shot and hope that, you know, everybody will, you know, just jump at it. He didn't do that. He came to save all people. The whole purpose of what Jesus did through that birth, those 33 years that he was on this earth, dying on the cross, was for you and for me. And that's the purpose that he did it. He came, his purpose was to save us and to forgive us. And a lot of people will question, well, who's he going to forgive? Who's he going to save? And it's us. Some people, and some people, you'll read that and they'll say, well, it's just the Jewish people, because the Bible says that he came to save his own. And so it's just limited to Jewish people. Other people think that he came to save mankind. No matter who they are, and no matter what they've done, they believe in something that's called universal salvation, that everyone will be saved. Everyone will arrive in heaven. But that's taking it a little too far, because if that's what he did, then he did something contrary to what his purpose was. He would have never had to die on the cross and to make the blood sacrifice that he did if everyone's going to be saved and everyone's being to be forgiven. But he came for, and the term is, you know, is God's elect and those people that are, you know, that are chosen. And some people will say, well, who are that? Who are they? Who's chosen? Well, his idea and his hope is everyone. A lot of churches teach predestination. Certain people are chosen, certain people aren't. Some churches teach about the elect. There's certain people that are elect, and they're the ones that are going to be in heaven. Does that mean you have to make a commitment in a relationship with Jesus Christ? If you're already chosen, if you're already elected. That's the argument I would have with, you know, with that thought and that basis of that. But he came to save us from the sin in our lives, but he also came to save us from the sin that we will commit. It's not just our past, because none of us are perfect. We're never going to be perfect, even though some of us think that some of us are. And some of us think that we're perfect. Some of us are reminded on a daily basis how imperfect we are. And we will never become perfect until we see him face to face. That's the whole idea of, honestly, Methodist theology. But that's also biblical theology. So it's possible to say that we believe in him and we believe what he says. But it takes more than that. And we recited, I don't know, said after me, whatever, I can't think of a good word, Sunday morning, a verse out of Romans 10:10 that says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus died for our sin, we'll be forgiven. It's more than just simply acknowledging, and just more than simply saying it. So if we can honestly say today, and I thought this was interesting as I read this week, it said if you can honestly say yes, that we are following him the very best way that we can, does that mean we're going to miss suffering? We're going to avoid suffering? Life is going to be, what? I hate to say rosy, because those roses, the roses have thorns on them. And so even if you have a dozen roses, and I think you can probably get them some places for, what, $9.95? You still got a lot of thorns in there. And unfortunately, we face some thorns in our lives. But that doesn't mean we don't strive to do what he expects us to do. And so as we think about his birth and his work on the earth, his life, his death. We think about all the things that he did and everything that he did for us. The least that we can do is try to do our best for him. That's when you really boil it down to what's he expect us to do, is to do our best. He doesn't expect me to do what you do, and he doesn't expect you to do what I do. He may expect what we do to be maybe a little bit better than what we're doing, but that's between you and him, or me and him. That's not between you and me. So as we take the time tonight, and we're going to celebrate communion, and we always say this, and I'm thankful for it, that this church and our denomination does not say that you have to be a member of this church or this denomination to celebrate communion. Church denomination has nothing to do with communion. What has to do with communion is our relationship with him. That is the only thing that is important. And so I'm going to share a few scriptures out of Luke. We are going to pray a prayer. We're going to ask God to forgive us. We do this every time before we do communion. It's because we're not perfect. We strive and work at it. And I don't want to sound like a defeatist, but hey, sometimes we do wrong things. Not intentional in a lot of cases. Hopefully it's not intentional. If it is, well, ask forgiveness. Luke wrote in chapter 22, says, "Now the festival of unleavened bread arrived when the Passover lamb is sacrificed." That's what we'll be looking at Easter. The Passover lamb or Jesus Christ being sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, "Go and prepare the Passover meal so that we can eat it together." And he replied, or they asked him, he says, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" And he told him, he said, "Go into the city, find a man. You will know who that man is. He already has a room prepared for the Passover feast." He didn't have to ask him to prepare it, but he said he'll have a room. In fact, he said it's a large room. It's going to be upstairs. He had it down to all the detail that we'd ever imagine. So they went off and they found everything just as Jesus had said. And they prepared the Passover meal. And when the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. And Jesus said, this one word in here, when he says, "I've been eager to have this meal with you," it almost sounds like he was eager to die for mankind, because that preceded his arrest, actually preceded his betrayal and his arrest and his crucifixion. But he says, you know, the translation says, "I have been very eager to eat the Passover meal with you before suffering begins. For I tell you now, I won't eat this meal again until we eat it in the kingdom of heaven." That means that he's going to know us when we get there. Because he's telling the disciples he's going to have this meal again with them. So it says there that he took wine, and they had passed the cup around, and they drank from a common cup. And he said, "Whenever you drink this, whenever you do," he said, "do it in remembrance of me. It's not all about me, but in a way it is, because it's all about what he did." And he said, he took the bread and he passed it around and said, "This is my body broken for you." It represents our physical healing as his shed blood represents our spiritual healing. It's amazing what takes place around a communion table and what he meant for it to do for us. So I'm going to encourage you, and again, you don't have to be a member of this church. I'm thankful that we have many Roman Catholics that come and celebrate communion for that simple reason. You don't have to be in relationship with this church, but you have to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. Pray this prayer with me. Just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I confess my sin. I believe what you said, that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you died for my sins and rose again, I can be free. Jesus, I give you thanks for my freedom from sin. And I can go out of here a radically changed person. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we ask that you bless these elements that represent your body and represent your blood as we share this communion table. Lord, revitalize our bodies and revitalize our spirits as we celebrate this time with you. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I would ask those that are going to serve if you would come forward. And it would probably be a little more organized if you just come from the back up and then go around to the outside, and we can make it a little bit more orderly that way with the people we have here. And we do have gluten-free available if you would prefer that. Just feel free to come. No. Maybe that is gluten-free.
Glory be to God in the highest. Merry Christmas.
You have a blessed time. Thanks for coming. God bless you.